and thou, I am happy all the day. Was it for crime that I have done, he grown upon the tree? Amazing grace unknown, I love beyond degree. At the cross, where I foresaw the light and the burden of my heart, roll away, roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Number four, but drops of blood can repeat the depth of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. It's all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart full away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way, all the day. Amen. Good singing. Let us pause for prayer. Bob, can you please lead us in prayer?
Yes, my sir. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the gift of this night and the open doors of this church.
Amen.
Both of us together here, we just pray that you would anoint us with your very special blessing as you convene this meeting of worship tonight.
Yes, sir.
You would continue to keep us close to you in these horrible closing times that seem to be unfurling upon us. We just ask that we would receive an extra measure of your anointing upon us for the work that is to be done.
Yes, sir.
Because in no way has the Great Commission been canceled or even put on hold for these times. Because these times were basically made for things like that. And we just ask, Lord, that you would keep us faithful to you.
Amen. Amen. Let us continue a good singing as we turn back to our hymn books to page number 63, Glory to His Name. Got it, Paul? Down at cross where my Savior dies, down there for cleanse and for sin I cry. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name, His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name, His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Let's sing number four. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Disciple soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. His name. Glory to His name. Dear to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen. Good singing. We'll pause for a moment for the announcements, and then we can come back to the singing and for testimonies. At this time, Pastor Rice.
Amen. The lilies are beautiful. 1 week later. All right, does anybody need a bulletin? We want to welcome you to our service tonight. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. It says, walk in the light, Isaiah 2:5. It's good to have a couple visitors with us this morning. It's nice to have Dylan back, and good to have Anthony with us this morning. So he said he'll be back as well. So let's pray for our visitors. And pray on Tuesday morning, each Tuesday morning, as I seek to make new contacts as we go on door-to-door visitation, door-to-door soul winning. Pray for that we'll keep bringing in new people. And even if we don't bring them in directly from that, the Lord will bless the outreach and bring them in. So let us pray for our church to grow, as we're going to miss the Watkins family as well as Dawn and Kenny. So let's pray for them. And so let us make that a matter of prayer. And then how's Roy doing tonight, Carol?
At 5:30, we finally could declare him stable again, but it was a very hard fight for the last couple of days. But the good news is that once again, the power of prayer demonstrated itself. Not that I haven't been praying, and not that we don't pray at home, but there's something to be said about corporate prayer as well. And when you guys prayed here this morning, I can honestly say, without a shadow of a doubt, that within less than 10 minutes, there was a big difference in his blood pressure. It had gone, it was gradually coming down. I would say it hadn't started, it did. It had been up to 213. It was down to, I believe it was around 180 something at that time. But then it did come down to 148 over 80 something. I have it all written down and nailed it, but it was after the prayer. So to God be the glory. There is definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, power like we can't describe with words in prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just heard a good sermon on that by an evangelist. He went through all the different experiences in life. Prayed for a truck. Prayed for this. Prayed for that. And each time God answered prayers. So prayer is very powerful. So speaking of prayer, let's pray for an intern for this summer. Pray for Jonathan and his wife. And make that a special matter of prayer. Pray for Robert Archer and Jay in their new marriage. And pray for Kenny as he goes in for tests this week. Pray for Roy, and pray for these others. Is there any other ones we need to mention in prayer specifically?
Karen.
Okay. Yeah. How's she doing lately?
Even more immediate than that, tomorrow she goes to Dr. Foxman to see about the eye condition that she has. Something about bleeding behind her eye, but it's not a detached retina. It's diabetic retinitis, I think is what it's called. And so they'll be testing her and so forth for about an hour and a half tomorrow.
Okay, let's pray for Karen for this eye test tomorrow. Anyone else? Okay, just by way of other announcements, pray for our upcoming Teen Talents for Christ from 5th through 12th grades. And we do need someone to help with lunch. Is anyone willing to help us with lunch that day? We probably aren't going to have 40 to 50 this time. Pastor McMenamin's church is coming, but he's not going to be able to come because his wife's having baby 4 days ahead of time, before that. So he won't be coming, but some of his people will. Pastor David Smith doesn't know if his church is coming, but Chelsea Baptist will be coming, as well as we know at least Chelsea Baptist will be here. So let's keep them in prayer. And so we're probably going to have around 20 to 30. That's my guess right now. So it could change as I hear back. So would anybody like to assemble foods together to work with someone else? I'd like to at least get two people on this. So that way it's not all on one person. Assemble foods together to work on the teen lunch that day.
Assemble foods together.
Well, to make lunch.
Okay,
make lunch of whatever you want to, however you want to do it, to make lunch.
Well, I've done it before. I can say that I will do it. The only thing is, my life is very unpredictable, So I would definitely have to have at least one, if not two, helpers.
Okay, Mrs. Rice, do you want to help with that? Okay, all right. So you have one. Okay. Anyone else feel led that way? Pat. Great. Excellent. Okay. There you have. There we have the three to help. With that, so let's pray for the teens and elementary that are coming that day. It's always a real highlight to our youth as they come into our church. So let us pray for that. And last year, a person was saved. So we praise the Lord. Nikolai was saved. Jonathan's friend was saved last year. Then Mother's Day is in two Sundays. So we look forward to that special day. Invite your mother or a friend for Mother's Day, or an aunt, or a sister, or whatever special lady in your life. And then Good News Club is this Thursday, so let's be in prayer for that as well. We do need chip bags, if anyone would like to donate chip bags for that special time. At this time, what's that? Oh, okay, you were just pointing at that. Okay, at this
pull the screen down, I'm going to show you something.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, oh wow. Explain it to us.
That is your live feed going out to the internet.
Okay.
So we are able to stream live. I don't put the audio on because it's on the same computer here, so I'm just doing the video. But if you were on the church's YouTube channel, on our YouTube page, you can see us live.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Praise the Lord. We are officially on.
Okay.
Okay. So please don't use this to stay home. This is for outreach purposes. We want to see people come in through this ministry, not go out of this church. And so what a great opportunity that we have in front of us, as so many people are online now. Let's give Brother Watkins, Pastor Logan, and all the rest, let's give them a big hand. Which one? The little screen, okay. Dual screens, okay. Oh, amen. We are in the 21st century. Okay. And this is the Way of Life Friday Church News Notes. This is an excellent newsletter on the back there. John Prindy's out for us. David Cloud's ministry. A lot of the discernment things. For instance, a rugby player is firing their $1 million star player. He's the only person who gets $1 million in rugby over posting Bible verses and what they say about homosexuality, about urging people to turn to Jesus and repent of their lifestyle. And now the team is firing him. So how sad that is. But he said, well, if it comes down to choosing Jesus and choosing rugby, what he really loves to play, he said, it's hands down I'm going to choose Jesus every time.
Amen.
So he's taking a stand. So his name is Israel Folau. So it's a blessing to hear of those taking a stand for Christ. Then John also completed our church directory. So that's it's now there may be a few minor changes. So we'll take any corrections you have. Just let us know. put it in the box back there so we can change your address and phone number or anything that needs, or your birthday, if you want to add that or just take it away. So that's, these are on the back table as well. So thank you, John, for working on all these things.
Pastor,
yes?
Speaking of streamlining, did you happen to announce that Robert's wedding can be seen?
Yes. Go to Robert J. Archer, one word, Robert J, R-O-B-E-R-T-J-A-E, Archer, and you can see his wedding online. If you are interested in that, it's on that Facebook page there. If you'd like to see them kiss and, you know, say their vows, etc. So they are in Niagara Falls as we speak, so let's pray for them and their new marriage. All right, any others? Anything else? No. Can you tell us what that is?
Northville Baptist Church 8. You go to YouTube and look up Northville Baptist Church 8. The number 8. Not spelled out. Now, it'll probably give you a couple different ones, but you'll see a picture of the church there. That's the one you want to click on.
Okay, Northville Baptist Church 8. And I believe it's Northfield Baptist Church, New Jersey, which is our Facebook page.
Yeah,
something
we
gotta
start
with. Yes. Okay, so I will put that in the bulletin for next week, those two things. So thank you, John, for helping us.
I want to check on Vimeo and maybe Kermit Audio.
Okay. I'm on Twitter, so if you want to follow me on Twitter, just look up Jeremy Rice, and I am on Twitter, so, okay. Yeah, no, not posting things like that on there, so. Some use it for that, but I don't. Yeah, I can put that in there, too. All right, so I'll add that in there. All right, it's good to have Sister Basso with us. Welcome. How you doing tonight?
Good,
good.
Good, happy.
Good to have you with us. All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. And I'll call your dad this week, see if they're interested in coming to our teen event that we're having. So we have, for 5th through 12th graders, it's on Saturday, May 11th. So I know it's kind of last minute, but it's $5 for lunch and ribbons, and they play Olympics here, as well as have an opportunity for those that want to present a Bible lesson. So it gets them into using their talents for the Lord. Let us bow together in prayer as we ask the Lord to bless this ministry. This is the Lord's church, and let's ask Him to multiply the tithes and offerings given to Him tonight. Let us pray.
Father God, we thank You for the privilege of being able to do Your work. And we know that part of this privilege is that we can watch as You support the work here that You cause means to come together to do the things that need to be done. We just pray, Lord, that You would protect this work in a very special way, and that You would allow nothing to get into the inner workings of it, that You would continue to add Your blessing to each and everything that's done, because this work is Yours, it bears Your name, and in this way we hope to carry it forward. We just ask, Lord, that we know that You suit a blessing to each gift as well as to each giver, and we pray that You'll do that this evening as we would return that portion which You have given to us. And we pray that we would be good stewards of Your treasure, that this work here might continue forward. And we just ask that You would work in a mighty way in the manner of the offerings here. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
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 Amen. Let's go to page number 157 in our blue hymn books. We only have time to sing the one verse and the chorus, and then turn the service over to Pastor Rice. I think we have gone beyond our time for testimony, so we will just sing. Let's stand together. I think we have to sing more and better and louder when we sing standing. Page 159, the way of the cross leads home. I must need go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way the cross. Let's sing number 3. Then we bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it now no more. For my Lord says, come, I seek my home. Let's wait at the open door. Way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Amen. Good singing. You may be seated. Time Pastor Rice.
Are there any quick testimonies you'd like to share tonight? Anything the Lord has done for you this past day or this past week that you'd like to share? While we turn in our Bibles tonight, we do have a handout, so if we can have some people help hand these out. Yeah, that's the same one we had this morning. Here you go. I collected the ones that were in the row. I collected them. Anyone have a testimony you'd like to share? Blessing that you'd like to share from this past week? Some profitable visitation sessions this past week with many different people. So that went well. Visitation went well as other things. So praise the Lord for that. Any other blessings you'd like to share? Something you're thankful for? All right, let us turn our Bibles tonight as we look at John 21, what Jesus said about the later lives of the disciples. John 21, we know a little bit of the later lives of the disciples from what Jesus shared. John 21, verse 17. John 21, verse 17, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to look into your word. We pray you help us as we seek you tonight, that you would guide us into all truth, that you would help us to understand more and more of the time in which we live and our forefathers in the past, Lord, that you would help us to be thankful for their testimony, their influence, their witness for you and the heritage that we have as Baptists. Lord, we thank you for this great heritage that we have been handed. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to appreciate it and to hand it to the next generation for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, John 21, verse 17, he saith unto him, Peter, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo, the term Peter uses three times. Jesus asked if he agape him. First love that Jesus uses, agape. And so Peter says, no, I don't love you unconditionally, full-heartedly. I love you phileo, you know, as a brotherly love. So Jesus gets to his heart. Well, Peter, why not? Why do you not love me enough to feed my sheep? And here Peter said, well, because I'm a failure, and I'm this, and I'm that. And he gave all his excuses for why he's down on his ministry of what he could do for God and all those things. And Jesus picks him back up and says, no, Peter, you can do this. The last time he said, do you phileo me? The third time, instead of agape, do you agape me? He asked him two times. Third time he says, do you phileo me? And Peter says, yes, you know that I phileo you. So he agreed with the Lord, but he thought he was not a good Christian anymore because he betrayed the Lord three times. So Jesus picks him back up. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So here Jesus tells Peter, Peter, when you're old, there's somebody who's going to be stretching out your hands and carrying you where you don't want to go. Speaking of the death that Peter died, he died crucified like Jesus, but he didn't want to die crucified upwards like Jesus. He said, I don't want to die the same way my Lord is. That would be a shame to him. So crucify me head downward. So he asked for them to turn him upside down. And sure enough, that's how Peter died. Verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, John the apostle, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And we see that sure enough, John lived old enough. He was banished to Patmos when he was very old. He was probably in his 80s, possibly in his 90s when he died, 95 A.D. And he got to see Jesus before he died. He saw Jesus there on the island of Patmos. Jesus gave him the words of Revelation. So what a testimony. John got to see him. He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come. So Jesus temporarily came just to give him revelation. Verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which they should be written every one. I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. Right. Amen. So Jesus only gave us four Gospels. But if we had all of the doings of Jesus, all of his teachings, all the books in the world couldn't contain them all. That's how wonderful his ministry was. How marvelous, how perfect. Okay, so now go to page 11 in your Trail of Blood book. This is an excellent little booklet. It's about 55 pages long, but it is a great synopsis of who we are as New Testament Christians. That our enemies and those who weren't in our group have said these things about us in the bulletin. We have posted those things. So if you want to know what they have said about us, it says in the bulletin, Mosheim, who was a Lutheran, he said, before the rise of Luther and Calvin, there lay secreted in almost all the countries of Europe persons who adhered tenaciously to the principles of modern Dutch Baptists. The origins of Baptists is lost in the remote depths of antiquity. The first century history was a history of Baptists. So they admit that the New Testament Christians were Baptists. They were they were who we are today, following the same principles of the Bible. Cardinal Hosius, who was a Catholic, said at the Council of Trent, "Were it not for the fact that the Baptists have been grievously tormented and cut off with the knife during the past 1,200 years, they would swarm greater than all the reformers." Okay, so that's a Catholic talking about us. What's that? Okay, great. So we see that then in the insert page, there's a couple other quotes that you can read. So that's what they have stated about us. A Methodist claimed that the Christians of the first century, John Ridpath, who was a Methodist historian, a good one at that, he said the Christians of the first century were Baptists, because that's what all Christians were in the first century. They were Baptists. So that was said by a Methodist. So he'd say, "All right, it's time to come over, Mr. Methodist. You know, leave your little basin of water, leave your bird bath behind, and come on over to the Baptists." There were no bird baths in the first century church. You know, they only went down to the river. They didn't sprinkle babies. They baptized believers, and that's the difference. So some of the things we highlighted this morning in the morning service. Okay, so coming back to page 11 at the bottom, following their Savior in rapid succession, number 2, fell many other martyred heroes. Stephen was stoned. Matthew was slain in Ethiopia. Mark dragged through the streets until dead. Luke hanged. Peter and Simeon were crucified. Andrew tied to a cross. James beheaded. Philip crucified and stoned. Bartholomew flayed alive. Thomas pierced with lances. James the Less thrown from the temple and beaten to death. Jude shot to death with arrows, Matthias stoned to death, and Paul beheaded in a Roman Colosseum. More than 100 years had gone by before all this had happened. This hard persecution by Judaism and paganism continued for 2 more centuries, yet mightily spread the Christian religion. It went into all the Roman Empire, Europe, Asia, Africa, England, Wales, and about everywhere else where there was any civilization. The churches greatly multiplied and the disciples increased continuously, but some of the churches continued to go into error. The first of these changes from New Testament teachings embraced both policy and doctrine. In the first 2 centuries, the individual churches rapidly multiplied, and some of the earlier ones, such as Jerusalem, Antioch, Ephesus, Corinth, grew to be very large. Jerusalem, for instance, had many thousand members, possibly 25,000 or even 50,000 or more. A close student of the book of Acts and the epistles will see that Paul had a mighty task, even in his day, in keeping some of the churches straight. See Peter's and Paul's prophecies concerning the future. 2 Peter 2:12, Acts 20:29-31. Okay, these great churches necessarily had many preachers or elders. Acts 20:17. Some of the bishops or pastors began to assume authority not given in the New Testament. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter 2:12. Let's go over there. 2 Peter 2 and verse 12. What were some of those early errors and heresies creeping in? 2 Peter 2 and verse 12 says, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Okay, so here Peter was talking about some of the false teachers already creeping into the good churches that they had planted. Acts 20:29-31. Let's go over there. Acts 20:29-31. Acts 20:29-31, it says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So here Paul is warning the church at Ephesus there that was quite large, that there was false teachers already trying to creep in. And just 30 years later, 20 years later, John had to write to that same church at Ephesus and tell them they had lost their first love. They had lost their first love. So we see that the devil does not wait around to attack churches. He does it all the time with many different things. Okay, so these great churches necessarily had many preachers or elders. Some of the bishops or pastors began to assume authority not given to them in the New Testament. We're in page 12 of the book. They began to claim authority over other and smaller churches. They, with their many elders, began to lord it over God's heritage. 3 John 9. Here was the beginning of an error which has grown and multiplied into many other seriously hurtful errors. Here was the beginning of different orders in the ministry, running up finally to what is practiced now by others as well as Catholics. Here began what resulted in an entire change from the original democratic policy and government of the early churches. This irregularity began in a small way even before the close of the second century. This was possibly the first serious departure from the New Testament church order. Okay, let's go to 3 John 9 and see what John warns churches about. 3 John 9. It's the smallest book in the Bible. It's 3 John. 3 John verse 9 says, I wrote unto the church, right before Jude and Revelation, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So Diotrephes was such a big head honcho in the church that he was saying, hey, I'm the one in charge around here. We don't know if he was a trustee, a deacon, a pastor, or just a church member that wanted everyone to look at him. All we know is he wanted to exercise the rule over the church. And that's a dangerous thing, that we are, let him that is the greatest among you be your minister, as Christ said to his disciples. So there we see that Diotrephes is the opposite of who we should be. Okay, and so another vital change, number 5, which seems from history to have had its beginning before the close of the second century, was one of the great doctrine of salvation itself. The Jews as well as the pagans had for many generations been trained to lay great stress on ceremonials. They had come to look upon types as anti-types, shadows as real substances, and ceremonials as real saving agencies. How easy to come thus to look upon baptism. They reasoned thus, the Bible has much to say concerning baptism. Much stress is laid upon the ordinance and one's duty concerning it. Surely it must have something to do with one's salvation. So that was in this period that the idea of baptismal regeneration began to get a fixed hold in some of the churches. Okay, there you see. According to the many historians, they all document that. Number 6, the next serious error to begin creeping in, and which seems from some historians, not all, to have begun in the same century, and which may be said to have had an inevitable consequence of the baptismal regeneration idea, was a change in the subjects of baptism. Since baptism has been declared to be an agency or means to salvation by some erring churches, then the sooner baptism takes place, the better. Hence arose infant baptism. Prior to this, believers and believers only were regarded as proper subjects for baptism. Sprinkling and pouring are not now referred to. These came in much later. For several centuries, infants, like others, were immersed. And so all the churches immersed, and that's what they called baptism. They'd even put babies under the water, etc., etc. Okay, and sure enough, as I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, you can go to churches in England, churches in Ireland, churches in many different parts, Africa, and many countries in Europe, and you will find churches. Sure enough, you go to the front of the church where the pastor preaches, you'll find an in-ground concrete baptistry where all they had to do was just bring in pails of water. And sure enough, they could hold baptismal services. And sure enough, they immersed the people fully under. So many of the early 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th century churches were true churches. They immersed by baptism, by immersion, like we do today. But slowly, they started leaving the doctrines, the state churches, the official churches, and so that's then they had to run underground in the first, second, third centuries. And so we see here that there's always been true churches. They've just had to run underground for a while. If you look to the back of your Trail of Blood booklet there, you'll see the groups, the different groups of New Testament Christians, what their names were. A lot of them were named after the leader of the group, okay? Such as the Montanists. They were named after a man named Montanus, which held to mostly New Testament doctrines. Then you have the Novatians, another man named Novatian, who went against the Roman church that was rising and the organized church, the bishop-type church that was rising. He went against that, and they called them the Novatians because they were New Testament types. The Paterans, the Puritans, the Montanists, the Cathari. The Cathari means the holy ones. Okay, in Spain, they're the New Testament Christians there. They called them derisive names. Oh, you holy ones! You think you're holier than the rest of us because you baptize after a person gets saved and all these things. And so they'd call them these names. And they have been known throughout history as Anabaptists or rebaptizers. Okay, the Paulicians, they followed a man named Paul who was a New Testament Christian who preached New Testament doctrines. All over Africa, Italy, Wales, England, Spain, France, Armenia, Italy, England, Bulgaria, and all these different groups had to go underground through the centuries. Why? Because the official Roman church that started with Constantine, they made them go underground through inquisitions, through persecution, through putting them to death, etc. And so you can see all the different things that the Catholic Church added over the years. In the 500s, they added worshiping Mary, Mariolatry. Leo II became the first officially established pope. Popery started in the 400 to 500s. 600s, indulgences, where you could pay ahead of time to get out of sin during the week. You know, oh, I know I'm going to sin this week in this and this and this area, so I'll pay extra money in the to the Roman church, and that way they could indulge in their sin because they paid extra money. Okay, that's, of course, non-biblical. Purgatory was invented in 700. Satan image worship, invented in 800, 787. Division of the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church came in the 900s. Then infant communion, 1000, transubstantiation of the mass, where the wafer and the grape juice would officially become the body and blood of Christ. That came in 1100. The celibacy of the priests and nuns, 1123. It's so on and so forth. The Bible forbidden, 1229. So you can just see just things added to the doctrines of the Bible. Things added. So church tradition became paramount, and the scriptures were put to the side. And that's how the devil works. He just goes incrementally in small ways, small portions to change the doctrines. Okay, so you and I have never, our forefathers, if you consider yourself a Baptist anyway, if you consider yourself a Baptist, our forefathers have never been part of the established church. They've always said, no, we are going to follow what the Bible says about churches, New Testament Christianity. And so they've never been a part of that. So thankfully, we have we can trace the line, which is a trail of blood. Sure enough, you find that they had to pay dearly for their worship of God according to the words of God. And so that's what we find. So if you go back to page 14, okay, page number 7, page 13 at the bottom. Let it remember that changes like these here mentioned were not made in a day, nor even within a year. They came about slowly, and never within all the churches. Some of the churches vigorously repudiated them, so much so that in AD 251, the loyal churches declared non-fellowship of those churches which has accepted and practiced these errors. And thus came about the first real official separation among the churches. Thus it will be noted that during the first 3 centuries, 3 important and vital changes from the teaching of Christ and his apostles had their beginning. One significant event took place. Note this summary and recapitulation. Number one, the change from the New Testament idea of bishop and church government. So we see the major change. How did they get from New Testament Christianity, the New Testament church, to a false church system? Well, they changed number one. They changed bishops and deacons into something that they were not. There we go. Okay, yeah. So they didn't fall on me. Okay, they changed the idea of bishop and church government. This change grew rapidly, more pronounced and complete and hurtful. So where the bigger church's bishops or pastor became head over the smaller church's bishop or pastor. And so they were like the head honcho bishops. And these over here were just pastors or elders or whatever they wanted to call them at the time. Okay, so we see that was the first change. The second change was the change from New Testament teachings as to regeneration. Okay, what is salvation or regeneration according to the Bible? Does anybody know? What is regeneration? To be born again. Okay, how are we born again? Okay, it's how we're saved. Okay, so we have regeneration changed from regeneration as in you get saved, born again by believing on Christ as Savior, turns into something now that you have to do. Regeneration turns into a work. A work. And thus it's added baptismal regeneration. Okay, they add on, okay, well, you have to get baptized to be regenerated. Does baptism regenerate anybody? No. Our faith in Christ, our being born again, is what regenerates us. Okay, by the Holy Spirit. Number three, the change from believer's baptism to infant baptism. Okay, so that was the third error that crept in. Believer's baptism to infant baptism. And it's so important, you know, and of course the whole logic behind it was logic and not scripture. Just like the many false systems that are out there, they go to logic instead of scripture. Okay, the logic was, well, our baby's going to die, so our baby needs to go to heaven. And they didn't read the Bible, where the Bible says that any person who's not to the age of accountability yet is in God's hands. As David lost his 7-day-old son, he said, he shall not return to me, but I shall go to him. They didn't read those passages because they weren't really in their Bibles. Instead, they said, oh, well, babies, you know, we don't want our baby to go to hell, so therefore we have to baptize them as soon as we can in water, as if water can save a baby. Number one, that baby's saved because that baby's in God's hands. So God will not allow anyone who's under the age of accountability to go to hell because they can't help it. They can't say, oh, I haven't gotten saved yet. You know, so therefore, oh no, I'm lost. No, they don't understand what sin is yet. They don't understand what salvation is yet. They don't understand what Christ did for them yet if they're below that age of accountability. Okay, so if we can't trust God with doing the right thing with children and babies, then what kind of God do we serve? But unfortunately, they had a wrong view of God because it was rooted in wrong worship. Okay, so here, secondly, we see number 10, 3 significant facts for a large majority of the many churches are clearly shown by history during these first 3 centuries. Number 1, the separateness and independence of the churches. Number 2, the subordinate character of bishops or pastors. Number 3, the baptism of believers only. I quote now from Mosheim, who is a Lutheran, the greatest of all Lutheran church historians, volume 1, pages 71 and 72. But whoever supposes that the bishops of this golden age of the church correspond with the bishops of the following centuries must blend and confound characters that are very different. For in this century and the next, a bishop had charge of a single church, which might ordinarily be contained in a private house. Nor was he its lord, but was in reality its minister or servant. All the churches in those primitive times were independent bodies, or none of them subject to the jurisdiction of any other. For though the churches which were founded by the apostles themselves frequently had the honor shown them to be consulted in doubtful cases, yet they had no judicial authority, no control, no power of giving laws. On the contrary, it is clear as the noonday that all Christian churches had equal rights and were in all respects on a footing of equality. Okay, notice who said that. That's not a Baptist who said that. That's a Lutheran. What do Lutherans have today? Bishops and hierarchy. One bishop controlling a group of churches, and the Lutheran synod, you know, controlling all the churches in that vast group, etc. Okay, so here a Lutheran is being honest. He's saying, hey, in the first and second and third centuries, first and second centuries anyway, each church, which was probably contained in a house in many respects, had its own pastor, and they were and that church was autonomous and answered only to the Lord and made its own decisions. So thus we have the New Testament doctrine of the local church, which is the way it was meant to be. Okay, so that those things changed. Number 14 by the number 11 up to this period, notwithstanding much and serious persecutions, Christianity has had a marvelous growth. It has covered and even gone beyond the great Roman Empire. Almost, if not all, the inhabited world has heard the gospel. And yet, according to some of the church historians, many of the original churches organized by the apostles are yet intact, and yet loyal to apostolic teachings. However, as already shown, a number of very marked and hurtful errors have crept in and have gotten a permanent hold among many of the churches. Some have become very irregular. Irregular meaning not according to New Testament doctrine. Number 12, persecutions have become increasingly bitter. Near the beginning of the 4th century comes possibly the first definite government edict of persecution. The wonderful growth of Christianity has alarmed the pagan leaders of the Roman Empire. Hence, Galerius, the emperor, sent out a direct edict of more savage persecution. This occurred February 24, 303 AD. Up to this time, paganism seems to have persecuted without any definite laws to that effect. But this edict failed so utterly in its purpose of stopping the growth of Christianity that the same emperor, Galerius, just 8 years thereafter, AD 311, passed another edict recalling the first and actually granting toleration, permission to live the religion of Jesus Christ. This was probably its first favorable law. By the beginning of the year AD 313, Christianity has won a mighty victory over paganism. A new emperor has come to the throne of the Roman Empire. He evidently recognized something of the mysterious power of this religion that continued to grow in spite of persecution. History says that this new emperor was none other than Constantine and had a wonderful realistic vision. He saw in the sky the fiery red cross, and on that cross written in fiery letters these words, "By this shalt thou shalt conquer." He interpreted to mean that he should become a Christian from that cross vision. And that by giving up paganism and that by the Christian religion onto the temporal power of the Roman Empire, the world could be easily conquered. Thus, the Christian religion would in fact become a whole world religion and the Roman Empire a whole world empire. So under the leadership of Emperor Constantine, there comes a truce, a courtship, and a proposal of marriage. The Roman Empire, through its emperor, seeks a marriage with Christianity. Give us your spiritual power, and we will give you of our temporal power. To effectively bring about and consummate this unholy union, a council was called. In AD 313, a call was made for a coming together of the Christian churches or the representatives. Many, but not all, came. The alliance was consummated. A hierarchy was formed. In the organization of the hierarchy, Christ was dethroned as head of the churches and Emperor Constantine enthroned, only temporarily, however, as head of the church. The hierarchy was the definite beginning of a development which finally resulted in what is now known as the Catholic or universal. The word Catholic means universal church. It might be said that its indefinite beginnings were near the close of the 2nd and beginning of the 3rd century when the new ideas concerning bishops and preacher church government began to take shape. Let it be definitely remembered that when Constantine made his call for the council, there were many of the Christians, Baptists, and of the churches which declined to respond. They wanted no marriage with the state and no centralized religious government and no higher ecclesiastical government of any kind than the individual church. These Christians, Baptists, were nor the churches ever at that time or later entered the hierarchy of the Catholic denomination. Okay, and so that's where we come in, that's where we have been in that line, that we don't want to ever become an official state religion. The state religions are always, number one, corrupt from the teachings of the Word of God, number two, abuse of power, number three, persecution follows. Anyone who doesn't follow into them. And that's one of the distinctives of New Testament Christianity, is we never impose Christianity on anyone. People have to be subject to their own individual soul liberty. That if someone wants to reject Christ today, they have that choice. One day they're going to stand before the Lord, but it's not our job to force conversion. It is between that person and the Holy Spirit. And so Baptists have always been against persecution. They've always been the ones getting persecuted because of that stance of non-forcing of religion. So that's where we stand. We stand in a wonderful line of New Testament doctrines, and so we have a great heritage as Baptists. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of the great truths of your words, how the disciples would have to be persecuted for their faith, and how they went through the opposition and the persecution because they knew that your word would go forth and prosper mightily. We pray that here in 2019 that we would be faithful and true to your word, that we'd be faithful and true to its doctrines, that we would stand fast in the heritage that we have as New Testament Christians, and that we would give out the gospel of Christ so that others may be saved from their sins as well, and that we would help edify and build up Christians in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. We pray you to bless this church, bless Northfield Baptist Church, bless each member, bless each attendee. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in this time in which we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us go to our hymn books as we close this service tonight. Number 661, a wonderful call to obedience, to speak the words of truth from the Scriptures. 661, let's all stand together as we sing this song. And if you need to come for any reason, maybe you want to pray for someone that you are witnessing to, maybe you want to...
Thank you.
and let us close in prayer at this time. And yes, Brother Watkins, would you please close?
Dear friends, Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you and praise you for the many blessings you've given us. As we've read tonight about how that trail of blood throughout history, Lord, we see this, that crimson red flow of the true doctrine of your word that has been maintained throughout the centuries.
Amen.
We know that it's done by your hand, Lord, or those that doubt that you are all preserve your word, but yet we know that you forever preserve your word.
Amen.
And you are an all-powerful God.
Amen.
The great I Am that we see in the Old Testament. You are the I Am in the New Testament.
Amen.
The only one that can do such things. And yet, so many doubt today, Lord, but the proof is out there, an immense amount of proof to your existence and your power and your ability, Lord. We thank you for revealing these things to us and showing us, opening up our eyes to the truth of the gospel message, that we are sinners, but we are in need of the Savior. And that Savior was your Son who died on that cross at Calvary to make atonement for our sins, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you. We ask that you be with each and every one as we part our way tonight, Lord, and bring us back together. Your word says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves in a manner of some is.
Yes.
And Lord, those that aren't here tonight, for whatever reason it might be, we don't know, it may be very legitimate reason, Lord, but that your Holy Spirit would burden our hearts to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Amen.
Open and the service is preaching. We should be there. We should be assembling together, Lord.
Yes.
Father, in your name, we ask these things. We also ask that you, all those mentioned earlier tonight for prayer, Lord, different medical needs, whatever it might be, Lord, that you put your healing hand upon each and every one of them.
Amen.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This is, John will be here Wednesday night as well, but we have some ice cream in the other room, so maybe we can do that in John's honor, have some ice cream together. Fellowship, we're going to miss him dearly. He'll be back now and again with us, but we want to let him and Justine, we'll have her on the phone maybe, and we can have some ice cream together as we have a farewell parting with the Watkins as they'll be moving on to... what is it, Bible for Today Baptist Church, Collingswood, New Jersey, Dr. Waite, so let us pray for them. All right, so that ice cream is over in the other room, so if you can, please stay with us. We enjoy some fellowship with John and Justine.